Blog Talk Radio.
So you think.
Hey, good evening. Thought you were going to get a little bump and grind there, huh? Well, no way. Not here on Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. I'm accompanied by...
Weird This Really Bad Movie, Dave, as well as Weird This Really Bad Movie from Spaceship One type thing. And Dale, I have for you not one, not two, but 12 hat facts, Dave facts tonight.
Ooh. And we're accompanied by...
Yes.
Greetings and felicitations and salutations. CW here. We're going to give you the full Monty.
Whoa.
Albeit the...
Wait.
No one told me.
On radio.
I don't know. I'm a little camera shy.
I have to turn my my camera off now on my computer.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, I guess. No. I'm not doing it. Not even on radio.
What about for a calendar? What about for a calendar? Would you do it for a calendar?
No, I would do it for money.
Very good. Money.
Filthy money. Yes.
So everyone leave your hat on, and here we go.
Yep. And it's a good story to hang your hat on from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. We'll get to that a little bit later on.
Yeah, it's a classic story it's adapted from, so it'll be fun to share this story. Updated and presented. So.
Yep. Now, yesterday we were talking about hats, and Dave, you mentioned that once in a while you'll wear a cap here and there. I, of course, wear my my bat hat. It was a gift
from
the late Jim the Colonel Quain, by the way, that hat. Long time ago. But how about you, CW? Is there do you favor any types of chapeaux, berets, or other headgear? Hello?
Did we lose her already?
I don't know.
What did you say, Dale?
There she is.
Oh, there I am. I was taken aback for a moment. I will don on a fedora, albeit, you know, the gum shoe fedora.
It's my favorite kind of hat. I love that kind of hat.
You know, I did one of my trips to Texas, to Dallas, where I have a relative. I bought a cowboy hat on the way back, and for my trip back. And I used to wear that a lot, you know, in my college days, until walked into a Lawson's, and all of a sudden I was completely surrounded by police cars.
Whoa.
And... Yeah. And I'd gone in to get something with Paul Lester, a buddy of mine. We worked at York Steakhouse together. And when we got back in the car, all of a sudden there were all these police cars around. Well, apparently the night before there had been a robbery and the guy was wearing a cowboy hat. And of course, Akron's finest are the only people that stake out a place that has already been robbed instead of a place where they might rob next, you know, so.
Oh, well, case of mistaken identity.
Oh, yes.
Maybe.
It was your evil doppelganger, Dave, your evil doppelganger.
Dave's criminal past comes to light.
Right here, and you heard it here, folks, right here on Erie House.
A live expose right here on Erie House. How about that?
It's funny. We were in Paul's neighborhood. He's African American, and he's got a big smile on his face. I said, "Why?" He says, I wonder what would happen if I threw open this door and started running. Probably get shot. Sit where you're at, you know, because I thought they were after him for whatever reason, you know. But no, it was me.
Yep. There you are. So, folks, forget TMZ. Forget BuzzFeed. You've got Erie House Radio with all the breaking news.
There you go.
Yeah, breaking news from 38 years ago. You got it. Yeah, yeah.
Hot gossip.
Yep.
And I have a variety of other hats for various skits I've done over the years. I have a sombrero. I still have my military hat that I used for a few skits. My military dress hat, you know. What else do I got? A hat of someone who works, like, say, in a rice paddy, one of those conical type hats. I've got a few laying around. A doiby.
Oh,
I have a bad hat, and I have another top hat.
Ah. Oh, I'd love to get a deer stalker sometime. I would really like to invest in a deer stalker.
There you go. Just like that Sherlock Holmes hat, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, like
an element tray.
Actually, I have quite a few hats, too. Mike Mason and I went down to Worcester when they were closing a party center, and like 40 cents a thing. So, you know, we went around scrounging all the hats.
Yep. One of the best hats I've ever seen was on Fogsbane when he dressed up like Carl Kolchak.
Carl Kolchak, absolutely.
He had the hat down pat. Yep. Yes, he did.
Now, what is Kolchak? Is that it's not a skimmer. It's just the Panama hat. It's a Panama hat.
Panama hat, yeah.
That's it. Yeah, I saw the image of nicely done, Fox Bang. Nicely done.
Yeah. I always love the episode where he's down trying to get information out of the mortician, the city mortician, and he says, well, if it isn't second runner-up to the Spike Jones lookalike contest. I love that line.
Oh, Fogsbane's got straw hats. Straw hats are great. I used to have one, but I no longer do.
Boy, I tell you when I have all kinds of facts, even about straw hats, even about Panama hats, and hat facts, Dave facts tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got a dozen of those coming up. And our first set will come right after the first part of our radio presentation tonight from CBS Radio Mystery Theater called The Man in the Black Cap.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Basically featuring three actors in here, Paul Hecht, Carol Tytel, and Ian Martin, and adapted by James Agate Jr. This episode was episode number 1010 or 1010 and was first heard over the CBS radio network on September 5th of 1970 and 9.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents
Dope.
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. It has been said by more people than I that the virtuous can walk the straight and narrow path single file, but one can never sin alone. The evildoer is pursued to the ends of the earth by one voice, his conscience. This tale, adapted from the pen of Edith Wharton, reminds us with what hypnotic tongue the voice of conscience can speak.
Are you saying that for the past 200 years, the same ghost has been living in this house?
Oh, no, Mrs. Morgan. The house has changed hands many times. Many people have lived here. The ghost is always a different ghost.
Well, that's a new twist.
The way I figured, Mr. Morgan, it's the people who bring a ghost with them. There's something about this house that always makes a ghost feel welcome.
Welcome.
mystery drama, The Man in the Black Cap, was adapted from an Edith Wharton classic, especially for the Mystery Theater by James Agate Jr., and stars Paul Hecht. It is sponsored in part by ARM, Allergy Relief Medicine. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Picture this. At a hotel casino in today's Atlantic City, a jewel thief is about to get away with murder.
Get in.
Oh, please.
If house detective Arnie Sutter can catch him, he gets to keep his job and his kid Max.
Don't blow it, Arnie. Don't want to go live with Mom.
Can he do it?
Who knows this business better than my old man?
Find out Saturday night on Big Seamus, Little Seamus.
Big Seamus, Little Seamus. Coming this fall on CBS television.
Got the picture? Oh, yeah. You're looking good. Look closely at the medicine you take for your hay fever. There's a good chance it's an antihistamine and nothing more.
Nothing more?
Don't give up. Arm yourself with ARM.
ARM is antihistamine strengthened. Strengthened with decongestant for freer breathing, clearer sinuses. Strengthened for better relief. Arm yourself with ARM.
ARM.
ARM. For occasional use only as directed.
When you're heading to Florida, fly the airline that gives you a big head start. That's Delta. Delta has morning nonstops from Chicago that get you to Miami or Fort Lauderdale by midday. Or you can choose from four other Delta nonstops to Miami, Fort Lauderdale. Say you're heading to Orlando. Delta gives you a head start with three nonstops and a one-stop through jet. Wide ride Lockheed TriStars to all three cities, too. And get a head start on big savings with Delta Night Coach or Supreme Super Saver fares. But remember, seats are limited for Supreme Super Savers. So next trip to Orlando, Miami, or Fort Lauderdale, Tampa, and West Palm Beach, too. Ask your travel agent to book you on Delta, the airline that's head and shoulders above the rest.
Delta is ready.
Richard III, a king and a murderer, as Shakespeare has drawn him, wrestles one night with his guilt. My conscience, he says, hath a thousand several tongues, and every tongue brings in several tales, and every tale condemns me as a villain. Our story of the power of conscience takes place today, yet the crime it discloses is as old as the first sin in the Garden of Eden.
I remember so well the day John and I went to look for a house. It was the first day of the fall, the New England trees marching up the road with their red-gold banners of leaves, leading us right up the main coast to Eastport Harbor, a delicious little town with its bright white church and velvety village green. We sat in a tiny room of the only real estate agent in town.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Morgan, there ain't so many houses in your price range as there used to be. Folks are getting mighty smart about values these days. For your top figure, I'm not so sure.
Mr. Higgins, suppose we up the ante to $60,000.
$60,000? Oh, John, do you think we should?
Would that give us a greater selection?
Oh, I don't know that it would. See, folks around here, they ain't so much wanting to sell.
Oh, but, Mr. Higgins, doesn't anyone die in this town? Out in Colorado, where we come from, the young people, they don't want to hang on to all the old homesteads when their parents pass on. They're looking for a new life. They can't sell fast enough and move to the city.
Yeah, around here, Mrs. Morgan, people don't die off so fast. And when they do, the young folks like to stay where they was born. Bring up their children here.
You mean there's nothing for sale in Eastport Harbor? Nothing at all?
Where are you folks staying?
We thought we'd try the inn.
That's a nice place. Good food. Tell you what, seeing as how you're both so determined, give me a day. I'll call you Wednesday morning at the inn and see what I can come up with. What's the verdict? How do you like the house?
Well, I don't know, really. I have to think it over.
Now, I don't want to pressure you, but I got some folks coming up from Augusta tomorrow morning, and they're particularly interested in an honest-to-goodness Victorian house.
But you don't want to pressure us. In my line of business, Mr. Higgins, we wouldn't exactly call that a soft sell.
And what would your line be, Mr. Morgan?
I'm in the mining business, but I'm retired now.
A young fellow like you retired already?
John sold his mine. It was his idea to come east to live. Oh, John, it's a darling house. It's the kind I've always wanted.
I think we've been through every room.
Oh, and that fantastic little square deck on the roof. You can see for miles around. Whoever thought to put it up there?
Well, most of these old houses by the ocean have them. They're called a captain's walk, ma'am. 100 years ago, captain's wife could go up there to watch for her husband's ship to come in.
Oh, do you hear that, John? It's just the place to write.
Oh, I don't know. The kitchen needs a lot of work. That old icebox and the old coal stove.
No, that's going to be my department. I want the kitchen to stay old-fashioned, just the way it is.
You're not going to like hauling coal to cook with, I'll tell you that.
It takes a little getting used to.
Now, how far does the property extend? You said 25 acres?
Well, come here to the front door. I'll show you. Now, I'd say just about as far as the eye can see in all directions. To your right, to your left, straight ahead up the hill. Mm. And in back of the house, clear down to the ocean.
Oh, I love this garden. And the rambling roses on each side of the gate. I can't wait till spring.
Oh, it's a nice location, I'll say that.
I'm going to put a lot of time into this garden, John, while you're writing your book. Oh, and that clock striking the hour.
It's been doing that for over 200 years, Mrs. Morgan. 12 o'clock.
Oh, so many pretty sounds. I think I know everything I have to know about this place, and it all makes me absolutely positive I want to live here.
Now, there's only one thing about the house I haven't told you folks.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing as how you're a modern kind of couple, I didn't think it very important.
Do you mean the fact that every room needs painting?
The ghost.
Oh, there's a ghost that lives here?
You were right, Mr. Higgins, not to bother us with fairy tales. It's high time people discarded such superstitions.
Oh, superstitious I'm not. I'm not the only real estate agent in Eastport Harbor. I'm also the only sheriff.
I didn't know that. You're the sheriff, too?
Well, meaning I look at happenings realistically, believe me. At one time, I'd have said the same as you about superstitions. But the ghost who comes around here is different.
Oh, how so?
I've seen it myself.
Are you a drinking man, Mr. Higgins?
Oh, no more than I can handle. Why?
Well, I thought perhaps you tied one on the night you saw this ghost.
It wasn't night. I've seen it by day.
And have there always been ghosts here?
For 200 years, ma'am.
Always the same?
Oh, no, no. Always a different ghost.
Oh, well, that's a new twist.
The way I figure it, it's the people who live here who bring the ghosts with them. Something about this house that makes ghosts feel welcome. Well, it's the only explanation I can give.
John, this is the house I want to live in. Put down my roots. And Eastport Harbor is the town I want to live in. Now, you arrange everything with Mr. Higgins. Those 2 months until the cold weather set in were the happiest of my life. I didn't miss Colorado one bit. I felt as though I belonged on this coast of Maine. John started his book on mining, but I knew he wasn't as much at home here as I was. He was restless. Sometimes he'd go a whole day without saying a word, or he'd take long walks all by himself. On the whole, everything was peaceful enough, though, until that telephone call. Hello?
Hello? Mrs. Morgan, Hester?
Who is this?
This is Hugh Bryant.
Mr. Bryant? Are you calling all the way from Colorado City?
Yes, I am. Is John there? Hello? Why, John, is that you? This is Hugh Bryant.
I better hang up in the hall extension, Mr. Bryant. I guess you and John want to talk. Bye.
Bye, Hester. Nice to talk to you. Yeah, you still on the phone?
Yes, I am, Hugh. Hester, go on. You can hang up now.
Why did John cut me off like that? I stood by the telephone for a few minutes. Then, suddenly, this awful feeling came over me. The sulfurous smell of danger. I turned around quickly, and there was a shadow of a man on the frosted glass frame around the front door. Then he was gone. And then something compelled me to pick up the hall extension again and listen.
When did all this happen, Hugh?
Early this morning.
And where does that leave the lawsuit?
Well, it still stands, I guess, unless he dies of the gunshot wound. He's in a coma now. The nasty part is I thought I'd hushed up the whole lawsuit. But now it's going to be in all the papers. I've had three reporters here already with a lot of insinuating questions.
Oh, and what do they say?
Nothing very complimentary about you, John.
Yes. Well, keep me posted, will you, Hugh?
Yeah, I'll send along a clipping or so. And if anything develops on the lawsuit, I'll let you know.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Hugh.
Come in, Hester.
You don't usually have the study door closed, John.
I disturb easily when I'm writing. I don't know what persuaded me I could write a book about copper mining.
You're an engineer and you owned a mine. What else do you need?
I suspect I need to know how to write. Just to put down my experiences. Well, it isn't coming out the way I thought it would.
Maybe you should do something else, John.
Well, that's just the trouble. We have a bank full of money from selling the Lucky Penny mine, but I don't know what I want to do with myself. 40 years old, and like Higgins said, a little young to be retired.
What did Hugh Bryant want?
Nothing really. Tying up some loose ends from the sale of the mine, that's all.
Really? Is that all?
Why do you say that? If I say that's all, that is all.
John, you never used that tone of voice to me before.
What did you come busting here for anyway? You know I'm working. Questions, questions.
Well, if you must know, I came because I was frightened.
Oh?
There was someone at the door.
Well, I didn't hear the bell ring.
He just stood there, and suddenly he vanished. It scared me.
Oh, come on now. He probably came to the wrong house. He thought better of it and left.
I don't know. I'm still a little shook up. John, would you do me a favor?
Oh, sure, I will. Oh, Hester, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm sorry I barked at you just now. What is it?
Would you come upstairs with me to the captain's walk?
Now?
Now.
Oh, sure. But why?
I can't explain it. It's a beautiful view, and maybe a little change for you will help get rid of your cobwebs or whatever it is that's keeping you from concentrating.
It's a little nippy up here. You really can see from my house, huh?
Let's just stay up here until the sun sets, all right?
Okay, but it's turning chilly.
John, do you know what day it is?
Today. It's November the 1st, mm-hmm. Isn't it?
Is it anything else?
Saturday. Well, it is Saturday, isn't it?
John, are you really happy in this house?
Oh, you're really full of questions today, aren't you? Hey, look down there.
Mm-hmm.
You see that big boat cutting across the channel?
Mm-hmm.
That's an old four-master. Must be a chartered schooner.
Look, you can change the subject all you want, John, but I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. It's this house, John. You're not the same John Morgan I married 10 years ago. Today.
Oh, so that's it. Ha ha, I've forgotten our anniversary. Oh, Hester, I am sorry.
We're not as close as we were, John. I know it, and you know it. John, it's not something to push under a rug. What is it that's troubling you?
Must be because I'm at a crossroads in my life or something. I'm not sure what I want to do. When I bought the Lucky Penny and ran it, I was sure that would be my life. Then when I sold it, I thought, well, I'll come east and right, get away from the mining business.
John, look down there. That man opening our gate and walking up the path. Do you see him?
Yes. Yes, I see him.
John, that's the man who came to the front door. He's got the same kind of peaked cap on.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
John, where are you going? John, come back!
Who is this stranger who has turned up twice at the door? Is he real? An apparition? Surely not the ghost Mr. Higgins warned them about. Let's stop guessing, shall we? I suspect we'll know more when I return shortly with Act Two.
It's a good feeling to sleep the night away on a perfect sleeper bicycle.
I'm Susan Anton. The perfect sleeper gives you the top comfort you love and the deep support you need. Top comfort, deep support. You get both from every third of perfect sleeper. That's firmness that feels good. So,
be a perfect sleeper.
Mr. Tony Randall for Rinsenvac.
September is Rinsenvac carpet cleaning month, and that means you can save your carpets and some cash now when you do it yourself with Rinsenvac. We have very low rental rates to help you save now, and when you rent during carpet cleaning month, we'll give you a coupon good for a free Rinsenvac rental later, the next time you steam clean your carpets. So save some cash and save your carpets when you do it yourself with Rinsenvac.
Rinsenvac. Rent it now at a participating hardware store near you.
Say it 10 times fast. Rinsenvac, Rinsenvac, Rinsenvac.
There you go. Nice and easy. Make it nice.
What the heck was that?
I have no idea.
Maybe that's a warning sign from Blog Talk. I don't know.
A warning sign?
I don't know.
Against Dave Fax? Is that what that is?
Maybe. They're going to fact check your Dave Fax.
Then they're going to be in trouble because you can't always fact check one of my facts. So.
Yeah. So they won't be able to approve or deny.
That's true. Which only gives us more credence, by the way.
True. Anyway, absolutely. We've got to have some kind of an intro for it. Sounds dangerous. Dear House Radio presents Hat Facts, Dave Facts.
Thank you for that enthusiastic opening there. Hat Fact. It is said that when John Hetherington won one of the first top hats in 1797 in the streets, he was arrested for scaring people. Dave Fact. Just think what they would have done to Stephen King back in 1797. Hat fact. Fedora was a first a woman's hat and then a men's. Now it's both. Dave fact. Well, thank you, LGBTQ. Okay, hat fact. In the 1920s, there was an odd custom in America that it was common that people wore straw hats after the 15th of September. They were beaten up. Dave fact. Apparently, people I grew up with never carried a calendar on them. And hat fact, Vikings never wore horned helmets. Day fact, but apparently they were still very horny guys. That's it for this set.
Hey, you get what? That gets one Godzilla.
One Godzilla. All right.
That's a good rating. That's a very good rating.
That's not bad.
Like,
and I personally
up.
Will give it to Gamra.
I love that
song. I like it. You can dance to it, and the lyrics are easy. Gamra.
Yeah, they're kind of easy to remember.
Yeah, easy for you guys. Not so easy for me, but okay.
Yeah.
Easy
but
for
oh, poor guy, to lament, to have a absolute bank full of cash. Woe is me. What shall I do?
Yeah, wah.
Really?
Wah, we feel for you.
But wait, there's more.
There is. So we should probably continue then. With the man in the black cap from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
An exciting adventure in radio entertainment is yours every Monday through Friday. Sears Radio Theater with hosts of talent.
I'm Lorne Greene.
I'm Andy Griffith.
I'm Vincent Price.
I'm Cicely Tyson.
I'm Richard Widmark.
The five very talented hosts who bring you a broad sweep of top quality dramas on Sears Radio Theater over most of these CBS Radio Network stations. You'll hear a play in a different key every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Lorne Greene hosting westerns on Monday. Andy Griffith, comedies on Tuesday. Vincent Price with mysteries on Wednesday. Cicely Tyson with stories of love and hate on Thursday. And on Friday, Richard Widmark and adventure. To enjoy this thrilling experience in radio entertainment, all you do is listen here for Sears Radio Theater, Monday through Friday, on most of these CBS Radio Network stations.
Let me reset the scene for you. It is November. In a large old house right on the Maine coast dwell a husband and wife recently transplanted from the Midwest, where the husband has made what in commercial circles would be called a killing. Are we being overly suspicious if we wonder whether the killing was purely business?
Don? Darling, where are you? Oh, you frightened me.
What's the matter with you, Hester? You open a door, I happen to be standing right behind it.
Oh, what are you doing?
I just got up from my desk to find a book. What should I be doing? I'm trying to write.
What about that man?
What man?
5 minutes ago, you left me on the roof. I had to climb down that rickety ladder all by myself. Now, what about the man we saw coming in the gate? The man I'd seen before when you were on the phone.
Oh, yeah. Nothing, nobody. I thought it was old Higgins, so I ran down to ask him about the deed. I haven't received a certified copy yet.
You thought the man we saw was Mr. Higgins?
Well, whoever it was, when I opened the door, was gone.
How could that be? I was looking right down from the captain's walk. I didn't see anyone go away.
I can't help what you saw or didn't see. He'd gone, I tell you, and no one was there.
I can't imagine why you thought it was Mr. Higgins. This was a much younger man.
Please stop plaguing me, Hester, and go away. Sometimes you can be very exasperating.
When John's in one of those moods, it's best to leave him alone. And those moods are becoming more and more frequent. His temper's getting shorter and shorter. Then, something caught my eye on the hallway floor. I bent down and picked up an empty shotgun shell. How did it get here? We don't have a gun in the house.
Why make such a fuss about an empty shotgun shell?
Look, since we've moved in, I've cleaned every inch of this house, and John, there wasn't any shotgun shell that could have escaped me.
Here, let me have it. Oh, now, will you look at it, honey? Who knows how long it's been lying around? Could have been kicked in the door by someone walking in. There are a thousand rational explanations.
Look, my dad and I used to go hunting in the lake country, and I fired hundreds of rounds of those things. If it was fired more than 2 days ago, I'll eat it.
Hester, look, why are you getting on my nerves like this?
Will you tell me why I am?
We'll be hurting each other soon, Hester, if we go on this way.
I agree. We're not used to being under each other's feet 24 hours a day. In Colorado, you were always at the mine or in town. I had my work, my life. Here, we're too much alone.
Well, I hope to heaven that's all it is.
So do I. That's why I've invited old Mr. Higgins to stop by this afternoon for tea or a drink. Maybe he'll be the breath of fresh air we need. Some more tea, Mr. Higgins? May I fill your cup?
Why, no thanks, Mrs. Morgan. I think I'd better be on my way before the fog drifts further inland.
Mm.
It's nice of you, too, to invite me over.
You know, whenever I hear that foghorn, I think of some captain's wife up on our roof, waiting for her husband's ship to come in.
That's just what they used to do, Mom.
Mr. Higgins, you remember the day we first came to see you last September? You said you had another party interested in buying this house?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think we could get our money back if we put the house on the market?
Yeah.
You heard me, Hester. Put the house on the market.
Now, I'm sorry it doesn't suit you. It wouldn't be a little old ghost, would it?
Ghost? What ghost?
Well, maybe a new one showed up.
I thought you said the people who live here attract their own ghosts.
If this is a joke, you two, I'm not laughing.
Isn't that someone in the front door?
Yes, I'll go. And if you're not here when I get back, Mr. Higgins, remember what I said. Ask around. See what kind of money you can get for this place.
John.
I'll be back when I'm back.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset Mr. Morgan with that talk about a ghost. I didn't think he'd take it so hard.
I don't know what to make of him. Sell the house? He's never said that before.
You have many visitors.
Well, except for you, we don't know anybody yet in Eastport Harbor. I know what you're thinking. Who was at the door?
You're very perceptive.
Well, it's the second time today. This morning, the same thing happened. John just got up, walked out of the house, and never said a thing.
If you like, ma'am, maybe I could have a talk with him, man to man. Maybe
I'd be happy to talk to you, Mr. Higgins. Let's take a walk right now.
Huh? You're not going to go out like that, are you? It's very cold.
Mr. Higgins, shall we go?
Why, sure. Now's as good a time as any. Mrs. Morgan, thanks again for the tea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Mrs. Higgins will want you both to come visit us. Okay, neighbor, let's be off before it gets so foggy we can't see our feet.
Oh, and take your red Christmas scarf, darling. You know how easily it catch cold.
Yes, 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 I will.
Oh, and you won't be long, will you? That foghorn's such a lonely sound. It gives me the woolies knowing you're out somewhere in it. It scares me.
Hester, darling, what are you talking about? We're going to stay here. You know we both love it. Fog or no fog.
It was all part of John's strangeness. His sudden turnabout from wanting to get rid of the house to saying he loved it here. I went into his study and had a long look. It got later and later, so I went up to the captain's walk to wait for him.
Hester! Hester, where are you?
I'm coming down, John. I was beginning to worry. I've had a stew ready since 6, and it's after 8. Tell Mr. Higgins to leave his coat in the hall if he wants to come in. I'll set another place.
Mr. Higgins isn't here.
But couldn't he come up the road with you?
If you don't mind, Hester, I'll skip dinner. I'm not very hungry.
Not hungry after a 4-hour walk? What is
it? It's nothing. It's nothing. I'm going to my study to
John.
Work.
John! John, what's the trouble? I've got to know.
Would you mind, Hester, very much closing the door to my study on the outside? I have lots to do.
Like writing Elliot Harmon's name practically over every page?
What were you doing in here?
Did something go wrong with the lucky penny we sold Elliot? I want to know.
No, nothing, nothing.
I want to know, too, why you didn't bring Mr. Higgins back with you for dinner since you and he were out together that long.
Higgins left me hours ago. I walked up the hill and he took the right fork back to town.
But I saw you. I was on the captain's walk waiting. A half an hour ago, you were walking this way with him.
You're mad. That wasn't me you saw. Probably 2 other people. In this fog, how could you tell?
Because one of the men was wearing your red scarf. It was you, John. I know it. You were talking to someone. Now, don't say anything, please. If you're hiding things from me, you probably have a good reason. The battle lines had been drawn. We were no longer 2 people joined by 1 marriage. He locked himself into his study, and for the next few hours, I was engulfed by a sense of dread. Finally, I went to bed and tried to go to sleep.
John Morgan.
I was wide awake. There was something heavy in the air.
John Morgan. Who's there?
John. John, what is it? Is it a nightmare? I could stop him. John was out of the bed and running out of his room. I switched on the light. John? John, where are you? I ran about the house like a crazy person. I couldn't find him. I ran back to the bedroom, slipped on some dungarees and a shirt. And then it came to me. He'd gone up to the captain's walk. I climbed up the rickety ladder, opened the little trap door.
No, no, it's not true. I've told you that 1,000 times. I said I'd fix everything, didn't I? Give me time. That's all I ask. Look, I never knew. Why do you keep coming after me? It wasn't my fault. I had nothing to do with it. You've got to believe me. No, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't hurt her. She knows nothing. Don't do it. Come back here. Come back. Come back.
John! Don't climb over the railing, John!
How is your husband this morning?
I can't believe it. He leads a charmed life.
Nothing broken after he fell off the roof?
Well, as I told you on the phone, I ran downstairs. He picked himself up. He didn't say a word. He just went to bed.
What was he doing on the roof in the middle of the night anyway?
I wish I could tell you, but it's so incredible. Nobody would believe me.
No one would ever believe what? Oh, good morning, Higgins. What brings you here?
Oh, Miss Morgan, I heard you had a little trouble last night. Fell or slipped or something. You wouldn't like to have someone look at you?
I know you mean to be neighborly, Higgins, but you understand I've got to get to my study and work. Bring me some coffee, will you, Hester?
I guess I'd better go.
Mr. Higgins, if I told you something, could you keep it to yourself?
Hester, I said coffee, please.
I'll go now, Mrs. Morgan, and if there's some way I can help, please phone me.
I don't know if you can. I don't know if anyone can. Here's your coffee, John.
Oh, thanks, sir. Just leave it on the table, huh?
Last night, when you were up there on the captain's walk, who were you talking to, John?
Hmm? What?
John, don't shut me out. Tell me what's troubling you.
Hester, look, believe me, I can't, Hester. I want to, but I can't. It's been months of this waiting and just... Oh, what's that you've got in your hand, the mail?
One letter. It just came. So, you won't tell me.
Let me have it, will you?
Don't grab it out of my hand. It's addressed to both of us.
Thank you for the coffee, Hester. Thank you for the mail.
Well, aren't you going to open it?
Later, when I've had my coffee.
Oh, it's from Hugh Bryant in Colorado City, and I'd like to know what it says. Now, would you mind...
Now, what's that? I'll get to it. Would you give it back?
I'm opening this letter right now, and I'm reading
no,
it.
No, you're not.
John, will you get away
will
from
me? Will you come
me?
Here?
Oh!
I'll hit you much harder the next time you don't do as I say.
Often a man loses so much control that he attacks his wife. I can hear you say once is too often, and I agree. Have we here a man so plagued by guilt, so pursued by the echo of conscience, that he is driven to acts he would never condone in others? I think we shall discover the answers when I return shortly with Act 3.
September 9th is Grandparents' Day, so I'm going to send flowers. With Mommy's help.
Grandparents' Day. Should I get flowers or maybe a plant?
Grandparents' Day? The 9th? No time to shop. I'll call the florist.
Flowers and plants for Grandparents' Day. They'll just love them.
Just look at all the flowers and plants. Something from every grandchild.
Flowers for Grandparents' Day, September 9th. Suggested by the American Florists Marketing Council.
Get flowers.
Hi, this is Michael Landon. You know, my family is the most important part of my life. So family pictures mean a lot. That's why we get ours printed on Kodak paper. To me, Kodak says quality. You know, using Kodak film doesn't automatically get you Kodak paper. You've got to look for a store with a Kodak paper sign. Really, everybody does. That means me too. Look for the Kodak paper sign when you get your pictures developed. And tell them Michael sent you.
Just ask for Kodak paper for a good look.
The name is Beverly. No, Beverly is not a girl. It's a factory-approved auto tune-up shop established 20 years ago. Beverly Auto Tune-Up Service in Oakland, Illinois, at 4545 West 91st Street, two blocks east of Cicero Avenue. The phone number is 636-0808. Beverly says the car makers are building some real fine cars, and they're keeping you in mind. For example, they made it easy to change your air filter and oil filter without disturbing oil lines. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if the car makers would go one step further and install a screw-on type gas filter that you could change without disturbing the gasoline line on all new cars? Since this is a very important service procedure, Beverly Auto has asked the car makers to make this change. If you agree with Beverly, give them a call, and they will tell you how to help effect the change. Beverly Auto Tune-Up Service, 4545 West 91st Street, Oak Lawn, Illinois. Illinois, 636-0808, open 7:30 till 4. This is WBBM Chicago.
I'm Beverly. Come on down to the shop for a free lube job.
Okay. Hey, Beverly, I'll do that.
Oh. Okay, Beverly.
Go to Oklahoma, Oklahoma, Illinois. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Oklahoma, oh. Illinois, where the wind comes sweeping through the Sears Tower.
Yeah, Sears Tower.
Sears Tower, yeah.
Oh,
I went there once. I was going to go up there to the Sears Tower, but it was really foggy, so they wouldn't let us up. But there, you know, it was like a $5 amusement tax. So I walked up to the person and said, hey, if I'm not amused, do I get my $5 back? And, you know, they didn't like that. They just told me to get out. Get out.
That's what I would have asked.
I
wonder if they're closed like the Terminal Tower.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Like our Terminal Tower was shut down. CW. It's a very well. It's no longer the tallest building in Cleveland anymore, but it's a big spire, and they used to have an elevator ride all the way up to the top. They had an observation deck with the little, telescopes and whatnot. But some kook named Ashby Leach took a hostage up there, and they closed it to the public. They decided maybe this isn't such a good idea letting just any schmuck go up there.
So, that's right.
Thanks, Ashby.
But you're
ass.
Thanks, Ashby. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. But didn't you tell them, Dale? You're not just any schmuck. You're a real schmuck. There's a difference.
That's right. Wait, what?
Huh? That kind of zoomed right over your hat, didn't it? Just zoomed right over your hat.
Right over my hat. That's right.
Right over your hat.
Right over my hat.
You had a hat?
Speaking of hats. We have yet another set.
Wait.
Of hat facts.
Gotta have the music. There's got to be something here. Wait a minute. scroll. Here, we'll try this one. Radio presents Hat Facts, Dave Facts.
Home sweet home sound. Hat fact. Panama hat has never been made in Panama. It is made in Ecuador. Dave fact. But after all, who would want to wear an Ecuador hat? Not me. Hat fact. St. Clement, the patron saint of felt hat makers, is said to have discovered felt when he filled his sandals with flax fibers to protect his feet around 800 A.D. Now that's using your feet, St. Clement. Hat fact. French magician Louis Clement was the first to pull a rabbit from a top hat in 1814. Day fact. First thing he actually pulled out of the hat was a moose, and it was successful, but the moose became extinct in France because everyone was trying to pull a moose from their hats. And hat fact. I guess that one, don't fact check me on that one. Hat fact, Elizabeth I had a law according to which every person older than 7 years old had to wear a cap on Sundays and holy days. Dave fact. This caused the term holy cap to come about, which soon became called holy crap, which displeased Elizabeth I very much. That's it. For this set.
Well, that wasn't such a chore, now, was it?
Dave fact.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm done.
I'm done.
We missed that sound bite. Let's run that again.
There you go.
Well, that wasn't such a chore, now, was it?
No, I guess not. Thank you. I think that was Tom Hanks, I think.
Sounds like it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's the Willis Tower. Yeah, no longer the Sears Tower. It is the Willis Tower since 2009. It is the Willis.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's not the Sears Tower anymore?
No.
What tower is it?
Willis. 2000.
What you talking about, Willis?
Yep, the Willis Tower.
That's it.
All right. Yeah. And by scrolling time, see? That's why the long buildup. Sometimes the long buildups are for a reason.
Oh,
I'm scrolling
and if we're permitted, if we're permitted, congrats to the soon to be grandparent in our chat.
Yes. Fog's being congrats. First time grandparent?
Yep.
Wow, that's amazing. I don't know if that'll ever happen for me. The kids aren't even dating. It's like, all right, whatever. I have pets. I have animals to spoil.
That's true.
I have animals to spoil.
That's true. Who needs grandchildren when you have your pets?
That's right.
And your computer. And your gaming.
Yes, let's not forget that.
Oh, yes.
Gaming good. I don't, but it would be fun. I know if I was young, I'd be doing a lot of it.
And the Chicago Tribune is on the same page as you are because when the Sears Tower became the Willis Tower, they did the ongoing joke of your soundbite. It was done by the Chicago Tribune. Yep.
Very good.
What you talking about, Willis? Yeah.
That's it.
They copy everything I do, honest to God.
I know. Such plagiarism.
They steal from me and Dave all the time. And Gar, too.
They do.
Well, yeah. Oh, and not yet
have we ever received one penny of royalty from the Chicago Tribune. Thank you very much.
Thank you. No kidding. Oh, and for the radio aficionados, Dave and others, there are multiple radio antennas and radio stations that broadcast from the mighty tower.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. You know, the higher you up, the stronger, the more your signal covers area, your signal covers. So, yeah, it's not the tallest, but one of the tallest buildings in Chicagoland there would be great for a radio tower.
Yes.
And probably
and
a bunch
of television
cell phone
station.
Towers now, too. Probably a lot of cell phone
Almost
towers.
Definitely. And television stations as well. But,
it'd be great to...
Yeah, I wouldn't mind going up. Yeah, going up that tower, also the CN Tower in Toronto, Canada. Wouldn't mind going up on that one. And if I should ever happen to find my way jet-setting to Dubai, that super, super tower that they had in that Mission Impossible movie.
Oh, yeah. That's a pretty amazing building there.
No kidding. Yeah, jet setter that I am, I may have to
decide to just take a tour. You know, well, there's Mount Everest, there's Dubai. I suppose I could stop for a moment and have a quick look.
There you go.
Well,
yeah, just tell that pilot, you know, take a left.
Yep. Let's see, we wrap. Yes, that was Gary Coleman that used to say that. What you talking about, Willis?
Yep. Yep.
Todd Bridges was Willis between robberies.
Yes.
Dave.
I'm sorry.
Or trying to snap Dina Plato out of a coma or something. But, there were some troubled people came out of that show, let me tell you.
Yeah, Dana Plato, she had trouble. She had trouble, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Troubled youngsters. You would think Mr. Drummond would have kept them out of trouble, but no.
You would think that. You know, all that money he had, you'd think he'd keep them out of trouble.
See, that's these rich people, they spoil their kids, and they release these little monsters. But anyway, what do I know? Get off my soapbox and get back to the man in the black cap from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
It takes love, courage, and restraint to withstand a slap in the face from your own husband. Hester Morgan possesses all three. But I think you'll agree that there's more to this than moods and acts bordering on the irrational. Obviously, a good and quiet conscience, a peace above all earthly dignities, as Shakespeare has defined it, is not John Morgan's frame of mind.
All right, open the letter. Go on.
No, I will. Oh, but there isn't a letter. Just this. A newspaper clipping. Oh, what is it?
Well, how should I know? Read it.
Lucky penny fraud. John, did you know about this? Well, what does it mean? Is it a lawsuit?
I don't know. It's nothing. Nothing.
Mr. Bryant sent it to us. Look, it's cut out from the Colorado City Times. Is it true what it says? Elliot Harmon is suing us for defrauding him in the sale of the lucky penny.
Oh, it doesn't mean a thing. He bought the mine as is. He had tests made. It was no pig in the poke.
But why is he suing us, then? What for?
He is suing the wrong party. Who knew the government would suddenly step in and stop all the strip mining?
Well, is that what happened?
He took his chances like all of us do. Who knew such a thing would happen? So he sues me. Anyway, that's all past.
Past?
Well, look at the date on the clipping. It was months ago. In fact, the day we left Colorado. It's all over, anyway.
He lost the case?
No. It never came up in court.
Was it true, John? Did you cheat him? Was it a fraud? I've got to know.
He withdrew the case, I told you.
I want to know why.
He had an accident, that's why.
How do you know?
Because you phoned me from Colorado and told me.
What kind of an accident?
He shot himself.
Oh, no. His poor wife. I wish I'd known him. Oh, no.
Why are you going on like this? It's nothing to do with us.
I remember his wife, Sarah. She was such a lovely girl. Well, when did he die?
He's not dead. At least not so far as I know.
I can't believe anything you say. I'm going to telephone Mr. Bryant myself and find out.
You'll do no such thing.
Oh, yes, I will. The lucky penny was in both our names. I want to know what happened to that poor man.
Put that phone down. I'm warning you, Hester. Don't force me.
Never mind, operator. I won't be making that call. Winter came and went. I wrote some poetry and cried to myself. Spring poked up its crocuses and the trees their buds. John and I remained apart. I never called Hugh Bryant. What was the point in hammering another nail into the coffin of our marriage? And then, one morning, I was on my knees in the garden, putting in some glads and dahlias. It was noon.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, I didn't see you coming in the gate.
I'd like to see Mr. Morgan.
My husband?
I suppose so.
I haven't had the pleasure.
Well, I'm Mrs. Morgan. Look, I'm afraid, if you don't mind, you'll have to come back after 4 o'clock. You see, my husband has a strict schedule. He works every day at his book. He won't see anyone until 4.
I think he's expecting me.
Oh, that could be. He doesn't always tell me everything. Haven't you been to see him before? I get the feeling somehow that... Oh, pay no attention to me. Sometimes I think I know people from somewhere, and it's just my imagination. So, he's expecting you.
I'm sure of it.
You've come from pretty far, haven't you?
Pretty far.
No one wears a cap like that. Oh, forgive me, I didn't mean to be rude.
May I see Mr. Morgan?
Well, I'm sure he won't mind, even though it's just 12. The front door's open. He's right at the back. The last room's his study. I'd show you the way, but I must get these bulbs in now that the weather's turned.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Morgan.
Those were the last words I ever heard our visitor say. That strange man wearing a black cap which shaded his eyes so much I never saw them. I went round the back to fetch the last of the gladiola bulbs. It was 1 o'clock when I went into the house. John wasn't there.
Hello?
Hello? Mr. Higgins?
Oh, Mrs. Morgan. I got your message when I got home. My wife said you'd called. Sorry I didn't get back to you before. We're just finishing dinner.
Mr. Higgins, have you seen John?
Why, is something the matter?
I don't know. He's been gone all day, and I wondered if you'd seen him in town or anything.
Well, I wasn't in Eastport Harbor today. Tell you what, if Mr. Morgan doesn't get back by, oh, say, 11 or 12 tonight, you call me.
May I?
And if I don't hear from you, I'll know he's home, safe and sound. Hello? Yes?
Mr. Higgins, it's midnight, and John isn't back yet.
Okay, Mrs. Morgan. You just sit tight. I'll be right over. Now, first thing in the morning, Mrs. Morgan, I'll get a parcel of volunteers together, and we'll search the whole area. But you're sure, ma'am, he didn't leave some message for you?
I looked everywhere, in his study, on his desk. It was just like he got up and walked out the door.
And when was the last time you saw him, Mrs. Morgan?
Oh, about breakfast time. I brought him some coffee.
Not anywhere since, going out the door or up the hill?
No. The man who came to see him, he must have.
Oh, what man?
A young man. He said John was expecting him. So I sent him along inside, and I went about putting in my flowers. Then, about 1 o'clock, I went in to make lunch, and John was gone.
And his visitor?
They were both gone.
Would you remember what he looked like, the young man?
Oh, I think so.
Wasn't anything funny about him? I mean, he was real flesh and blood, as they say.
Well, it never occurred to me that he was a... Oh, that's not possible, is it, Mr. Higgins? Not real?
Well, I hope not. I guess not.
And then there's this telegram that came for John yesterday from Mr. Bryant, our lawyer in Colorado City. Here, I'll read it to you. Need you personally to sign documents relating to Lucky Penny, Bryant.
Lucky Penny?
It should be called Unlucky Penny. It's been nothing but bad luck to everyone who's picked it up. Hello, Mr. Bryant.
Why, Hester, I should say welcome back to Colorado City. But what I am going to say is, don't you people believe in answering telegrams? Now, 3 weeks ago, I needed to file these papers. I telephone you, no one's at home, and... Well, anyways, I'm glad to see you. Where's John?
Mr. Bryant, I came alone.
Oh, no, that's awkward. Is he in town with you?
No.
Well, it's John I ought to have to sign these papers. I guess you can. Why is he?
That's just it. I don't know. He's disappeared.
He what?
Yes. Yes, he's gone. 3 weeks ago. They can't find him. Nobody knows anything. They've gone through the woods with dogs. They had helicopters everywhere. He's gone.
Oh, that sure is distressing news. But you mustn't give up hope, Hester.
I don't know what to think anymore, but I have to do something.
Well, to get to business, huh? I don't know whether you know it, Hester, but after Elliot Harmon bought the Lucky Penny, he brought a lawsuit against John.
Oh, yes, John told me.
Well, of course, we take the opposite view. Harmon sued on the grounds that John had misrepresented the mine's ability to continue to function. Of course, that was patently nonsense. No one could know the government would suddenly close down all strip mining. Well, at any rate, Elliot Harmon became despondent and shot himself.
Oh.
The bullet lodged in him. It took months before he finally died.
When was that?
3 weeks ago today, as a matter of fact.
At what time?
Well, that's a funny question, Hester.
No, Mr. Bryant, I've got to know.
2 o'clock, our time.
Well, what would that be in Maine?
Noon. 12 noon.
I knew it. I felt it all along. Lord in heaven.
You knew what, Hester?
John isn't missing. He's dead. They killed him. He's been murdered. Don't you see? Elliot Harmon dies within an hour. John disappears.
Are you saying that someone actually killed John as a revenge for Elliot Harmon's death?
Yes, I am.
But how could there be any connection? We're thousands of miles apart.
Couldn't someone in Colorado City have telephoned to Eastport Harbor to go out and get John?
Well, that's awfully far-fetched.
We sold the Lucky Penny for a good price, right? Now, if Elliot and Sarah Harmon felt they were cheated, so did all those other people who put up their money. At 12 o'clock, see, I remember hearing our church bell ringing the time. At 12, a young man came to our gate and asked to see John. I sent him inside. I never saw him or my husband again.
Well, now, this young man, could you describe him? You remember him?
I told the police everything I knew. The only distinguishing thing about him was he wore a black cap.
Did you see a black cap?
Yes. I never saw his eyes. They were like deep hollows, all shaded by that cap.
Well, that's hard to believe.
What is?
Excuse me. Hello? Oh, hello, Chief Foster. I was going to call you. Yes, I have Mrs. Morgan with me. Hester Morgan, you remember her? She came up from the east on business. It seems there's quite a mystery about John Morgan. He disappeared 3 weeks ago. What? Oh, you don't mean it. Well, that's a terrible thing. Yes, certainly I'll ask her, and if she agrees, we'll be right along. Thanks, Chief. It seems that John isn't the only one who disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Harmon visited her cemetery yesterday, first time in weeks. Her husband's grave had been dug up. His body is gone.
Oh, no.
They think they have a clue over at the Lucky Penny, and I told the chief you were here. I have to go, but if you want to, you can come along, Hester.
It'll seem strange to go there now, but why not? When we arrived at the Lucky Penny, they dug an experimental shaft to locate new deposits. A crowd of rescue workers stood around it. They'd found something at the bottom. Finally, they brought up 2 bodies. One was John's. John, my husband. The other, they said, was Elliot Harmon. He had a black cap on his head. I recognized him. as a young man who had come to see John 3 weeks ago.
Is it beyond our comprehension to grasp what we have just enacted? That a man on the edge of death could haunt the one responsible until death itself does arrive and claims them both? We know so little of the world beyond. Isn't it possible that our flights of fancy could be on the wings of truth? I shall return shortly. Now a word for working stiffs.
If you keep your noses to the grindstone, your nose is gonna be a mess. Ooh.
So stick your nose into your TV set.
Have a laugh on TVS. Hello, neighbor, we're in labor. Whoops, we meant to say we're working stiffs. But when we take a job, we mess it up. More laughs than you can shake a slapstick at when we CBS it up.
Watch Working Stiffs clean up this fall on CBS television.
At the store, they told me there's a powerful anti-itch drug I can buy without a doctor's prescription. Now, I use Bicozine cream as directed. No more burning, embarrassing itching. No more scratching. Bicozine actually speeds healing. Bicozine cream. What a relief.
For constipation, remember X-Lax pills, the overnight wonder. X-Lax pills, the overnight wonder. X-Lax pills, for occasional use only as directed.
I'm Susan Anton.
Oh.
PillowSoft is the ultimate in sleep. Unique exquisite cushioning for heavenly comfort on top. Ultra-firm support inside. Perfect sleeper PillowSoft. Firmness that feels good.
Be a perfect sleeper.
Showing your clout, rip it right out. Showing your clout, showing your master charm.
I love to shop. I'm a woman.
I love to travel. I work.
I always need something.
A new wardrobe.
Leather luggage.
A gift for him.
A gift for me.
What do you do?
Show him your clout.
Hey, we're in charge with Master Charge.
Brother, you carry Master Charge. You carry clout. Show me clout.
Consider the phrase, mind over matter. Is it a rule to live by? Can it remove one man from his writing table and another from his grave? Mind over matter. We find the precept, but not the proof, in Shakespeare, the Good Book, the Koran, and spoken by hundreds of poets, so it could very well be a fact. And may I add that if our mystery drama has told us anything today, it is also that reward and revenge are not that far apart. Our cast included Paul Hecht, Carol Tytel, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our mystery theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time... Pleasant dreams.
Since we are probably not going to have a moral, we need some kind of introduction.
We do have a moral.
Mm-hmm. I stand corrected.
Well, go ahead and sit. Not that good.
Eerie House Radio correctively presents a garrulous moral of the story. Dang it.
Apologies to Gar. If a ghost in a black cap is following you everywhere, the least you should do is get a restraining order. You need to. Now wash your hands.
Yep, yep. I will. I feel better now.
Definitely. Oh, wow.
Okay.
Where's the hand sanitizer?
That's right.
Well, we do have one more set there, Dale.
I beg your pardon? A set?
We do have one more set there.
Oh.
Set of what?
Of Hat Facts, Dave Facts.
We do have another set of Hat Facts, Dave Facts. That set.
Please do.
Thanks for bringing me back to Earth. Let's see what kind of intro we're going to have here.
I give up. I give up.
Here we go.
Good evening. Sit back, relax, light up an old ghoul. A lot of people wonder where ghouls come from. Well, they come from all over. They have.
And they have Hat Facts and Dave Facts.
Most unique introduction I've had on these all or so. All right, Hat Fact. The tradition of wearing hats to horse racing events began at the Royal Ascot in Britain. Dave Fact. But horses never wore hats in America except on television. Hat Fact. Valued at $2.7 million, the Chapeau de Moore was currently the most expensive hat ever created.
Ooh.
Dave Fact. $2.7 million? That's ridiculous. That would be like someone selling a painting of a Campbell soup can for $11,776,000. Hat Fact. One of the earliest known conformed hats was worn by a Bronze Age man nicknamed Otazi, whose body, including his hat, was found frozen in the mountain between Austria and Italy, where he had been since around 3250 BC. He was found wearing a bearskin cap with a chin strap. Dave Fact. Too bad he wasn't found wearing clothes on. He might not have froze to death. It might still be with us today. And Hat Fact. Roger Buckley Lundgren of the USA has a collection of 100,336 different hats from all over the world. It has become so popular, the bus tours come to his home. Dave Fact, AAA would tour anything to turn a buck, I'm telling you.
There we go.
Oh,
there we go.
Yeah. And just my little Hat Fact, remember, Dr. Seuss, the cat in the hat, cat in French, chapeau, in Spanish, el gato en el sombrero. And conclusion. There you are.
I like that. I like
there
that.
There you go.
Hey, wait a minute. Somebody's coming up the walk. Somebody's
Who
coming up to
be?
The door.
Cable guy!
No, don't let him in.
Uh-oh.
Don't let him in.
We can't afford a cable in the Erie house anyway. You know, it's too expensive.
No, sorry. We got that coat hanger that's picking up the Wi-Fi signal from the old Kroger store down the street.
There you go.
Ah. You know what? I actually did experiment. I saw on YouTube how the guy turned a paper clip into an antenna for an HDTV, a digital TV. So I tried
really?
It. And darned it if I didn't get about six channels.
Oh,
Believe it or else.
Sounds a bit rough.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you have to be quite the do-it-yourselfer nowadays to Well,
to get anything.
Anything.
Yep.
Anything. Anything.
That
yep.
is
you know,
true.
Something like that there.
That's true. Yep. So everybody, you know, that tinfoil hat that you've been using, you can actually get help that to get better Wi-Fi. Yeah, they do come in handy for other things.
That's right. I wear my tinfoil hat proudly. What's the matter, Joe?
Yeah.
Did you hear Joe?
This is a show about hats.
I did. I did hear Joe.
Joe says he wants a wheel.
Joe says he wants a wheel?
Joe says he wants a wheel.
You know, CW is our best wheel spinner, so.
If you wouldn't mind.
Joe, not at all. Anything for Joe. Here we go, Joe. Let's grab the wheel, and together we'll spin to win.
What you talking about, Will?
Around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Now for Staff Sergeant KEU down in Trinidad, the second triumphant command performance of Tommy Riggs and his imaginary little bundle of mischief, Betty Lou.
He can ride. Give a man a horse he can ride. Give a man a
Why,
horse.
Why, Betty Lou, that's an odd song for a little girl to sing.
Oh, hello, Miss Beatrice. That's a very special number I'm singing for a very certain person, don't you?
Don't I what, Betty Lou?
Well, don't you know that Mr. Tommy went horseback riding?
Horseback riding?
Yes, but on the horses he tried to ride, they had a very patriotic motto.
A very patriotic motto? What was that?
Keep them flying,
too. Speaking of horses, Betty Lou, I understand that Jimmy Wallington took you to the races. Is that right?
Well, I thought it was right at the time until I made a bet on a horse called Itchy.
Itchy? Are you sure the name of the horse was Itchy?
Well, it must have been. They had to scratch him in a third race.
Don't you know it's wrong for little girls to bet on the horses?
Well, I know it now.
I see. So your horse lost the race, is that it?
Yes, but he almost won. At the finish line, he was neck and neck with the horse that beat him.
If both horses were neck and neck at the finish line, how could your horse lose?
The other horse stuck out his tongue.
Well, that's too bad, Betty Lou. Did you bet him on the nose?
Yeah, no, I bet on the whole horse, too.
Well, all in all, Betty Lou, I guess you didn't have a very good day at the races.
Well, I was doing okay until Jimmy Wallington tatted me onto a nag in the toy and I lost my shirt.
Oh, pardon me, Marlena, but Betty Lou, what language?
Oh, hello, Mr. Tommy. I'll be back in a minute.
No, now, don't run away. I want you to answer some questions for me.
Well, that's where you have me at a disadvantage.
What do you mean I have you at a disadvantage?
Well, you ask the questions, then turn right around and put the answers into my mouth. Silly, isn't it?
Now, don't be funny.
Well, if I'm not, how long do you think you'll last in radio?
Never mind. But what about that money that was in your piggy bank?
What money?
The money that was gone when I shook the bank.
Oh, I beat you to it, huh?
Now, tell me, what did you do with the money that you took out of your bank?
Well, Mr. Wanning needed some spending money, too.
Well,
Yes, I did, too.
I know you did.
You lost your place.
I'll find it.
But I'll bet you don't know what happened after the races were over.
Well, I'll bet it was nothing trivial.
Oh, nothing like that. But one of the jockeys let me gallop all the way around the track on the winning horse.
Well, sit down and tell me about that.
I can't.
You can't tell me about it?
No, I can't sit down. But I'll find me, Mr. Tommy. There's Mr. Wallington, and I've got a little financial discussion with him. Oh, Mr. Wallington.
Hello, Betty Lou. It's a beautiful day, isn't it?
Never mind the weather. What about my piggy bank?
Oh, why, Betty Lou, don't worry about your piggy bank. You know me.
Yes, and that's what I'm worried about, too.
Now, look, Betty Lou, I'm going to let you in on a very good thing at Jamaica tomorrow.
Yes?
Here's a three-horse parley that can't lose. In the first race, pick Is Gone.
Is Gone?
That's right. In the second race, the horse's name is Forever.
Forever.
And in the third race, pick My Doe.
Yes?
Now, have you got that straight?
You have no idea.
Okay, what is it?
My Doe is gone forever. So there it is.
How about that? I was caught up with another place that you can find Erie House on Podcast Addict. If you're a podcast addict, you can listen to us. How about that?
Absolutely.
Very good, CW. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, not at
all. Let's see, what are we doing next weekend?
So what are we doing next weekend, Dale?
Yes, what are we doing, Dale?
Well, perhaps there's some music that could kind of give you a clue of what our topic is next weekend. If I can scroll her fast enough. Sorry, I'm getting a little choked up. Oh wait, it's a different kind of choke.
Different kind of choke up. Different kind of choke, Dale. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's a different kind of choking. Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Oh. That's right.
Oh.
We're getting all choked up with strangulations from Suspense, The Creaking Door, and Mole Mystery Theater. That's Friday at 6:30. And we'll be back with more CBS Radio Mystery Theater to just choke up a little bit more with Journey into Terror from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Ha-ha.
Ooh. Sounds like a lot of fun there. Yep.
Indeed it does. Absolutely.
And I did notice by just checking into it that Gar is planning on being on at 8 p.m. It didn't say it was a rerun, but it didn't say it wasn't. So we'll be checking out Gar on Horrible Horror starring that Gar the Ghoul.
Yeah, hopefully that means he's feeling better and working hard to bring you entertainment right after we're done here.
Yeah, talk about someone who has multiple hats. That's
Gar. Oh, yeah. Well, Dave, too.
Yeah,
between Spaceship One and Weirdness Really Bad and hanging around here.
I don't know.
Eerie House.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it. Yeah, don't know how you guys do it. Don't know how you do it.
That's easy. We just don't sleep, Penny, that's all.
Yep, oh, yeah, not much.
And Dale's got Joe to keep him company. So,
Joe or a possum chasing dog like I had last night.
Oh dear!
I hear the wife. I hear help, help! I thought she fell down the stairs or something. Here, the goofy dog was chasing an opossum around the backyard, and I didn't want either to get hurt, so I had to help break up the party.
Oh, there you are.
Well, that's hardly fair. I mean, they were just having a good time.
I don't think the possum was having that great of a time.
The dog was having a good time. The wife wasn't having a good time. The possum wasn't. But the dog was having a darn good time.
He was having a great time. he always does. It's the only time he's not lazy. Other than that, he's a lazy bum. He likes chasing animals.
When it's possum hunting time in Ohio. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. He was just trying to get supper, put supper on the table.
There's something about a collie on a couch. There's a whole website dedicated to collies on a couch. They're couch-stealing, lazy slobs, every one of them, and I love them. But I also love radio, so we'll be back for more of it on Friday at 6:30 Eastern. Thank you, CW. Thank you, Partner Dave, Brother Dave. Thank you, Gar, for all your contributions. This is show number 701. Bye.
One. Starting over again, it seems.
There's no one left but me and him.
And her!
When next we meet in Frankenstone.
Watch it, Vincent, watch it.
Don't come alone.
I'll try.
Can you dig it?
You betcha.
I really do. Vincent, make Victoria proud. Close the door behind you. All right.
There you go.
It's one animal adventure after the next around here. I will never have to be bored when I retire.
Yeah.
There's always some crazy critter that needs tending to or something. And we feed the wild birds. There were millions of them today.
Oh, are your, do you have your robins in your area or the red-winged
blackbird? The robins have
returned.
The buzzards have come back to Hinckley, which is not far from where I'm at. Probably closer to me than you, Dave, right?
We're probably about pretty close to the same.
I don't know.
How far are you? How far are you?
I could get there in less than a half an hour or maybe half an hour.
Okay, yeah. It would probably take me 35 minutes or so, yeah. 35, 40.
Yeah.
40
in Hinckley, CW, one of the rites of spring is the return of the buzzards.
But as in vultures?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have buzzards.
Oh, so that's how you get rid of all those bodies. Okay.
You know it. That's right. I train those guys. But, but yeah, we had, we probably had about between 15 and 20 goldfinches, a few cardinals. We expect next month we will have orioles. They come by for a brief time. So we...
They're on their way to Baltimore.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't forget the milk. They like that. They like that milk.
Actually, uh-huh. I get those little, what do you call those little mandarin, those little tiny oranges? And I cut one in half and put it out there, and they love it.
Say, do you get any red-winged blackbirds?
Yeah, red-winged blackbirds were out today, too. They just came back about a couple weeks ago to the area.
I'm sure they're... I must have mentioned this before, but if you want to ever recreate a Hitchcock sketch, when they're in nesting season twice a year, if you're near their nest, even across the street, you'll get dive-bombed.
That would be fun.
It is if you're wearing a hat,
else,
which
yeah.
happily I was. Yeah, I was wearing my hat when it happened.
Could do that up at the reservoir by us. There's a man-made reservoir, and there's a... All the way around it, the ground is raised. And it's about the width of a tractor, a walkway, all the way around the top. And when they cut the grass, when you walk them by and kicking it, and it, you know, just kicks up the grass, these swallows start dive-bombing you because they think it's a bug jumping. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
These swallows will just come flying right at you. Funny.
Oh, my gosh.
Animals are hilarious.
Yep. Yeah, they are what they are, and they react to how they react. It's just, you never quite know.
No, the dog and the parrot seem to be getting along. And Joe is finally getting his nerve up. He keeps trying. The dog still scares the living you-know-what out of him, but he's trying. He's trying to come upstairs and brave it.
There you go.
Get the big dummy to calm down.
Cool.
Come out of reclusion.
Well, he just might make it someday there. The dog jumping around and being excited, that's not going to help any.
No, he can't. The herding, hunting instinct in him. Probably more herding than anything
else.
Wait a second. Yeah, we have an African gray. We have an African gray parrot.
Oh, my
Lucy.
Gosh. Don't they live for
Yeah, we're probably going to have to will her to somebody, possibly. Because she's only about 7 or 8 years old.
Oh, so have you taught her any sort of naughty words?
So far, I've been pretty good about that. She doesn't curse, but boy, she repeats everything. It's hilarious sometimes. And she does have small conversations with my wife. And it's weird. She will talk to you if there's like a wall or something, if you're around the corner, if you're right there in eyesight. She doesn't like to talk. But she will talk to you if you're just out of sight. And she always says goodbye to me when I leave the house. I hear, okay, bye.
Really?
Yeah, okay, bye. When I go through the garage door, she knows I'm leaving. It's hilarious. Yeah, we have a parrot. We have a turtle we found in the yard 20 years ago. He's still going strong.
Oh, my gosh. You
painted
have a
turtle.
Menagerie.
Yeah.
Dr. Doolittle.
Mrs. K can I blame Mrs. K. She's magical with these critters. She knows their ways. She knows what they eat. It's hard with turtles because you don't want them to hibernate too deeply. You may have trouble getting them to come out of hibernation.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
I'm surprised you don't keep bees. Is that Joe?
Yes, it was. Yes, it is. No, it's me. I'm hungry. No. No, I know some people that keep bees.
Cool.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah. So notice that I haven't dropped the Wi-Fi signal because I purchased it's about the size of a booster extender I purchased. It's about the size of, a catcher's mitt.
Okay.
And you plug that in,
mm-hmm.
and you find a Wi-Fi signal, and if even if it's weak, it captures it, gives it a little boost, and there you have it.
There you go. Free
Wi-Fi
internet.
Happens to be, yeah, if the Wi-Fi signal is not locked, like most restaurants don't lock it, or they'll have a very difficult password like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the password is password.
Yeah. Because their employees have, well, never mind.
Yeah. I mean,
you
don't
want to
overburden.
Yeah.
Exactly. You don't want to overtax your employees.
No. But we got the government for that to overtax us. But.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
On every level. Man, do you ever look at like a utility bill that they still send them to you? But even if you go online and look at it, all the taxes and stuff on it, my gosh.
God, exactly. A tax for this, a tax for that, a tax for
yeah.
dust in the air, a tax for this, a tax for
reminds
that.
Reminds me of the guy in Popeye on the shore there waiting for people and taxing them for everything.
Nope.
Remember the tax man? There's a tax for that.
Well, yeah. That's it. If I could only figure out how to do what Tesla wanted to do, pull electricity right out of the air and just do that.
Nikolai had some neat ideas.
He did. But that stupid Westinghouse guy shut him down.
Yep.
No. Good Nick. Well, my next investment will be maybe I can build a Wi-Fi and get. I've heard that line of sight, there are antennas out there 5 miles, but that's line of sight, not including microwaves and other things in the air, atmospherics.
I'd be happy
I'm
with
do my.
With a good old TV antenna.
I'm going to do TV antenna, you know?
Yeah.
You might, just put something on the roof and say, I'm just getting an old-fashioned TV antenna, and that probably get a Wi-Fi thing up there.
There you go. Get
and
both.
And you can suck the grid. You get, absolutely, who'd know? And
suck
you'll
the grid dry.
McDonald's. such a great dry. Hey, what happened to all the high definition? I don't understand.
Dale ate all the internet.
No, I mean, there are some channels that you can get via antenna.
Yes.
Small ones and things like that, just to add to what you can get for no cost, you know. I'm loving this.
Well, I get about 55 channels on my antenna. I get about 55 channels on my antenna.
Really? You must have a good one.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, wow, that's nice.
Yeah. I paid $20 for it up at Micro Center. Put it up in my attic. It's an outdoor antenna that I have in my attic. So
that is pretty cool. I'm going to have to consider getting one.
I've seen them also at Ollie's for about $25. You have to build your own pole, but that's not a big deal for me. You know, I did that.
Nice.
So it's in your attic with the Tesla coil?
Yeah, right up there.
There you go.
One of these days, when a good lightning storm comes, the attic roof will open. Something will be cranked up onto the roof. It's alive. It's alive.
I was going to say, does it look like Karloff? Oh, those were great.
More like Lestrade. Yeah.
I was so surprised to find that they reused that stuff from that scene, CW, in Young Frankenstein. They used a lot of the original lab stuff from the 31 Frankenstein movie.
Oh, yeah. I know definitely the Tesla coil, the Jacob's ladder.
Yep. Fun stuff. I used to have a Jacob's ladder. I don't have it anymore.
Yeah. But I'm upset that we still have. I mean, a lot more cities and townships are giving free Wi-Fi because I consider Wi-Fi just the same as radio signals or television signals. You invest in the device, and you know you still get commercials and on Wi-Fi all over the place. But you have to pay the provider as well as put up with the commercials.
Well, and see, and that's the one thing I liked about the TV and radio that Dave and I grew up with. It was all free. You needed the once you had the device, it was free, and the advertisers paid for the content.
Mm-hmm. And I don't see why they can't do that with Wi-Fi. I mean, there are a lot of countries right now, for example, South Korea, you can get free Wi-Fi everywhere.
Some of the larger cities are trying that. They have spots where there's the Wi-Fi because there's a lot of people that just can't afford the Wi-Fi, and it locks them out, especially if they have children. From certainly during the pandemic, I know that even up in Strongsville, there, Dale, which is a fairly affluent area. My son is head of IT in the Strongsville school system, and what he did when the pandemic hit and everybody was sent home and then learning from home, he wired up the school buses so they could project Wi-Fi and the kids could come and either be outside or inside the bus and doing their homework and such and getting their lessons. Especially in some of the less affluent areas, he did that. So, you know, it's really cool.
Yeah, I heard that doing that a lot of subways and a lot of other buses and public transportation will do that. You know, so
American
if you want to get free Wi-Fi, you can follow the city bus all the way through the route.
American ingenuity lives and breathes.
Absolutely. We must persevere. Wi-Fi is a right, life, liberty, and the pursuit of the internet.
I've always believed that. That's why one thing I've always insisted, Erie House must be free for the listeners. If they got the devices and they can get the signal, great. That's what I want.
Yep, you've always been adamant about that.
If I don't ever make a dime myself, I haven't monetized yet, but if I don't ever make a dime myself, I don't care. It should be free.
Yeah, that's true. Well, It would be nice if you made a dime or two. I mean, let's not go overboard, shall we? Yeah.
Well, there was a point when Creepy Castle was making a few bucks. But they changed the whole monetization system at Blog Talk now.
Yeah, they did. They did.
I just haven't explored it.
Yeah.
There's ways to do it.
Yeah, same thing with YouTube. All those content people were just complaining about this algorithm that they have. And the same thing with Meta, Facebook. People who know for a fact they have a lot of people on their Facebook are saying, no, you're not getting that. So, excuse me, look at the numbers. Look at the numbers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Ooh, there's that noise again.
Come
what the heck was that?
Come in.
Thanks, Blog Talk.
That wasn't
spaceship.
You?
Spaceship.
No.
Hello,
it was not
spaceship.
Oh, okay.
It was not
is that something on the board or hello?
Nope.
Hello, Mars.
Nope.
Mars?
Nope.
Mars. Hello, is that Mars? Mars? Is that Elon Musk?
Was that a... Is that a
people of tension. This is a voice speaking to you from thousands of miles beyond your planet.
Uh-oh. We're in trouble now.
Uh-oh. What did you
do? Oh, yeah, that was the 43-minute warning.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Maybe it was.
Well, with that being said, we don't have that much time left, so if I may, I'm going to call Mr. Durante to the stage to sing us out before they start coming down.
There you go.
You better do it.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. It's time to say
good
night. Pickle man.
Pickle.
What more is this say but good night?
We've had a few laughs,
and it's time for
Toodaloo. Oh, is your radio
what?
In, or your mama radio in?
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
See you next week. Go check out Garth.
Do you mind signing off the radio?